My 96.1 with My Mornings with Rachel and Will.
Our precious resources are our children.
Yes,
in our
are.
Community, absolutely. In any community. As you know, because I talk about mine a lot, right, Will?
It's usually your topic of conversation every day.
Yes, yes. Well, taking great care of our kids here in the Great Lakes Bay region are some friends of ours from the CAN Council. Suzanne Greenberg and Randy Roberts are both here. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we want to talk specifically under the umbrella of the CAN Council about your CASA program. And this is something that's kind of taken off nationally. You hear a lot about it in national court cases and things like that. But we're lucky enough here in mid-Michigan to have the CASA program. Suzanne, tell us a little bit about what CASA is and the history of where CASA came from.
Absolutely. CASA is a national program. It's a nationally accredited program. And we were blessed to work together with former probate family court judge, Judge Faye Harrison, mm-hmm. to get it started. This is a program that can't exist without the support of the judge. And so for us, it started in the planning, a three-year planning back in the late 90s, to really make sure that we were going to have a sustainable program here in the community. And boy, is it. I mean, mm-hmm. really, the value of this program is so clear that the support from the community has been ongoing. And so the bottom line is CASA began for us in about 2002, and we assigned our first case then. And ever since then, we've been able to continually have a nice flow of CASA volunteers to serve as the voice for the children. And recently, just in the last year or so, we've now brought on our Bay County as part of our programming, so we are now also able to advocate for children there.
That's in great. Really layman's terms, okay, so court-appointed special advocate, that's why we say CASA. Just to kind of explain what a CASA does in the community.
What a CASA does is they are an advocate, they are the voice for a child that is underneath the jurisdiction of our court.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they get assigned to these cases, and they meet with the children and the parents weekly, meet with all the service providers, meaning if they're in school or there's medical problems, anybody that's involved with the case, they have that contact with. And what they do is they bring a report in every 90 days to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And that just gives the judge another view on what's going on with the case. And it's our court reports are done with the factual information that we have gathered for the judge. And then she makes the recommendations using our reports and other service providers. Those reports come in, and then she makes a recommendation on what's going to go on next.
So really, that person is somebody that sort of pulls everybody together. They're sort of like the beacon in the middle, and they're pulling, you know, facts and information and bringing it back to the judge then, correct?
Yeah, they are. And what it is because we have that contact, we have more contact usually than anybody on the case. So if we're missing something, these kids aren't falling through the cracks. So if therapy hasn't started and it was ordered by the court, we can go back to the child's lawyer and to the caseworker and that say, hey, this isn't going on yet. We need to do something about this. So it's to help smooth that process maybe mm-hmm. and make it go, you know, in a better direction.
Right.
Than going back in 90 days and nothing's happened.
And we're talking about parents and kids and difficult family matters, obviously, in a lot of cases. Right. And that's why it's so important. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. We have a lot of trauma that goes on with our families. We have these kids that it's for whatever reason, we're seeing a lot more neglect now in our
mm-hmm.
areas.
Mm.
It's been reported to the state, to DHHS, and they've come underneath that court's jurisdiction. So you've got a lot of problems. We have a lot of substance abuse issues coming in with this, and we have the poverty part of it coming
in. Right.
So sometimes it's just helping those parents with those parenting classes, which we also provide at the CAN Council, to get the give them the tools to how to parent these kids, because a lot of times the parents haven't been parented.
Right.
They're not sure of that.
Right.
I always say, you know, it's I never understand why you need a license to drive a car, but you don't need a license to be a parent.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no manual that comes with it.
Right. And you're right, Randy. So many times, just even in the last year or two, you've seen so many of these neglect cases and things in the news. And I always am drawn to them. I want to read, why did this happen? How could this have happened to a child? And what could have been done to prevent these things?
I think something that's really important for the listeners to understand is that there are so many resources available in our community. We're very blessed.
Yes.
A tremendous amount of resources. And we know that some of what happens is that the families are just not aware of them. So a CASA becomes the eyes and ears of the court, not for the purpose of the court, but for the best interest of the child. So they can connect the family to make sure that if indeed the child's best place is to be at home with their family, that if it's food they need or shelter that they need or some sort of medical therapy that they need, the CASA will help to follow up on that. And it is not, it's real important too that it's not saying that the attorneys involved or the Department of Health and Human Services workers involved, they all do care. We wouldn't do this work if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But their caseloads are much larger, and a CASA volunteer typically has one child that they're advocating for.
Oh.
That is very, very different. And
yeah.
they're
right.
doing it on a
right.
volunteer basis. So this is they're driven by their own desire mm-hmm. to make a difference with children. So the whole culture of it is different. And again, I want to say it's not because the partners that we work with are so dedicated, our Department of Health and Human Services mm-hmm. teams and Bay and Saginaw, as well as our attorneys, they're all very committed to these children or they wouldn't do this work.
Right.
It's just that their caseloads are so large. So CASAs are that set of eyes and ears. They're, as Randy explained, looking at all aspects of the child's life and then helping to give that information to the judge to make that decision. It's important also that we talk about court-appointed, but none of this would happen unless the judge gave an order that
okay.
says that this person is court-ordered to look out and get all this information.
It has to get to that point.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they can go to the school, they can go to the mental health agency and get those records because
mm-hmm.
they're deputized as part of the court. And so it's a little bit higher level than a volunteer
right.
because they have a purpose and it can't happen without that judge. But by the same token, they are there doing the most important work, which is looking out for the best interest of the child.
And Suzanne touched on it, but Randy, tell us. So pretty much anybody can be a CASA, but there is training involved and there's a certain type of, is there a certain type of person that you're looking for? How does that process work?
You have to be 21 years of age
mm-hmm.
and a high school diploma or GED. We prefer the strong written and verbal communication skills, but with that, if we don't have, we have people that aren't very good with computers. They come in, I always call it that they dictate to us, but if they bring in the information, they've worked that case, they've been involved in that, they can come in and we'll write that report with them. And what we do is we have three different background checks because we want to make sure that we're not putting our kids at risk.
Of course.
So we want to make sure those people going in there are clean with that. And usually about 40 hours, we have a new piece we're adding to our program, to our training, which is Fostering Futures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's specifically looking at kids from 14 to 17 on this. Well, it's 14 to 21. We're focusing on it 14 to 17 because we don't have any older than that.
Right, before. Right.
And what that is helping that process to, at an earlier age when they come in, to help them look at what they're going to do beyond high school. We try to guide that through the high school part into the college or into some kind of certification. So we've added that to our training. So that's about 40 hours. We have court observation that they go in. We want them to be familiar with the courts, usually about 10 hours of court observation. And with a case, we stay usually 12 to 20 hours a week, and that can vary mm-hmm. depending on what's going on with the case. 12 to 20 hours a month.
Okay.
Not a week, but a month, and that depends on what's going on with the case.
Sure.
It may be a little less, and it may be a little more, depending on where we're at with that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be objective of what's going on with in our cases. And I always say we need to go in these cases with the respect of these people. We're not there to judge this family.
Right.
We're there to become that voice of the child and to figure that all out with people we're involved with.
Okay.
And a commitment to the best interests of the child. We ask for our commitment when we go through the training and we swear. We have what we call a swearing in with the court, and that's the court acknowledges they've done the training in that, and they get a certificate. They're sworn in as that officer of the court. And what we do with that, we ask for a commitment of at least a year on a case. The commitment of a year, and after that, hopefully you'll stay on the case until it finishes. So we
right.
get to the end of it, whether
right.
communication, termination, and any of the other things. That
mm-hmm. Sure. So the main thing is they need to be trained. We'd like to get them in.
Yes.
You need volunteers.
Oh, absolutely.
You do have a new training program that's coming up this fall, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they can get information about that by calling the CAN Council
yes.
or by your website.
Yes.
I know cancouncil.org.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Suzanne Greenberg, Randy Roberts, thank you so much for telling us about the CASA program today and for advocating for our kids.
Okay. Thank you very much for having us.